Welcome back to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Now, I promised you we would get an expert on, somebody who's in the trenches all day long with couples, hearing the stuff. Yeah, the stuff that you shared. Don't worry, she's going to keep it confidential. We're not going to hear your name. That's her job. I'd like to introduce Kelly Miller. She's a licensed clinical social worker, a psychotherapist here in the San Fernando Valley, and specializes in relationships, also does some individual therapy. Her new book is called Love Hacks, and it offers some simple, I like simple, effective hacks to address your most common relationship problems. Hi, Kelly Miller. How are you?
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
I like the cover of your book.
Oh, thank you so much.
I like anything pink. It's a Barbie age, I think.
It's true. And hearts, right?
Yes. So first question, why'd you write the book?
I wrote the book because I was having couples come in and they kept asking the same questions over and over. And I thought, well, clearly there's a need for this, right? There's people who aren't in therapy who could use solutions to these common questions.
You know, a lot of people are afraid of couples therapy. Because they're afraid of therapy in general, right? Going to those tender spots. And in your experience, is it that couples often enter couples therapy when they're near the end and
yes.
it's hard to save?
Absolutely. When they need resuscitation, and it's almost too late sometimes. So I love when people come in and they're like, you know, we're not sure if we should be here. I'm like, this is great. We could all use this. But yeah, a lot of times they're coming when they're one person's kind of almost out the door.
And so when do you recommend they should come?
Third date? Exactly. I mean, the sooner the better, but I think the moment you kind of realize, hey, we might need some work, I'd rather them come sooner than later.
I always like this idea of maybe having a third eye in the room. It seems so helpful. Like, okay, so, you know, my fiance, I get to see fiance now, my fiance, Julio, he's got his therapist, I've got my therapist. Mm-hmm. But I said to him, you know, we're grown-up people, we've accumulated some assets, we got kids we want to leave things to, we got to negotiate a prenup.
Yeah.
And I have, because of my early childhood stuff, issues around conversations about money. It's so difficult for me. So I said to him, why don't we just book a therapist? And we'll just do some sessions on how to...
Brilliant.
And he's like, okay, he loves therapy.
It's great. I love that you recognize, hey, this is something that I struggle with and we could work together on this.
You know what my parents taught me about money? We're getting off track, but let me tell you what my parents... I'm with a therapist, okay? I want to get some free therapy, everybody. That's why I'm here. Is once a month, they would sit down to pay the bills.
Okay.
They were always very angry. It wasn't an evening. We were told to go to bed and stay out of the way. And there would be a lot of sighing. Mm-hmm. There'd be fist slamming, paper shuffling, no explanation. And the next day, both of them would be in a grumpy mood for a day.
Yeah.
That was my education about money.
It makes sense. So, of course, you grew up with the fear and it being a bad thing.
Yeah. Then it must be terrible. Right. All right. So your book is called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. What's the most common relationship issue?
Gosh, if I had to pick one, I mean, there's definitely like a handful, but I think what you just described is one of the main ones.
Money?
Yes.
Not sex?
That comes up there too. Yes. I mean, it's the tough ones. And if you think about it, those are the ones culturally that are taboo and scary and all of that. So that makes sense, kind of what you were describing. And people are scared to talk about money. Sex is weird. So it's all of that. And that's ingrained in us. So
yeah, the first time I ever went to couples therapy, now I'm going to really date myself, was like, 40 years ago with a guy I was living with. And I remember saying to the therapist, I will talk about anything but sex. Isn't that funny?
That's great.
And now I have students who say to me, oh, you know, my mother listens to you. And she says, are you going to have that professor who talks about sex all the time?
Now you're the sex person.
Exactly. How things change.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about why couples, we're going to talk about sex because I brought it up.
Absolutely.
Why couples do stop having sex? I can add some things from my reading on anthropology and evolutionary psychology and the female sexual response system, et cetera, et cetera. Guys, just make sure the sheets are clean. The room is clean.
Exactly.
The kid, child care is taken care of. Yeah, something.
Okay. Sure.
But why do you think most often do they stop having sex?
So I think the main reason that I see is there's a resentment on either side. that's typically what happens. So yes, I mean, there could be biological issues, but if we're talking emotional, it's a resentment. So,
you know, nothing kills a buzz, a sexy arousal buzz, than anger.
Absolutely. You're not in the mood. I mean, at all.
Who wants to have sex with someone they're mad at?
Exactly. And then they feel, and then people hold it over their partner's head of like, well, I'm just not going to sleep with you, you know, and it's a power thing too. So absolutely.
Oh, a power thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you break that?
So I think the first thing is we got to uncover those resentments. The only way out is through. So I think you, in order to feel really connected to your partner, that needs to be addressed. And you need to have an open and honest conversation about what you're upset about. Let's go there. Let's talk about it. So in order to feel physically connected, it starts with feeling connected emotionally. I got to talk.
You know,
that.
I always say that really at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I mean, anybody, if you meet somebody hot on Tinder, can go and have hot sex with a stranger because you're having sex with your fantasies, really, at
That's
that moment.
True.
But down the road, if you work on, I want to say becoming best friends, but getting emotionally in touch with each other,
yes,
and really caring about each other, then sex will come, like the arousal will come. I do want to just tell every woman out there, I'm only speaking as a woman who's had some experience with this in my life. Tell me if you disagree with me on this.
Sure.
For many women, the best way to want to have sex is to start having sex.
It's so true. It's so true.
How do we explain that to women?
Because it's like going to the gym.
But when
they
say that, you know what people say? They go, well, you're talking about like having to do something that you don't want to do or being coerced and, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
But our bodies, the juices don't get flowing until we...
Exactly. Rev the engine. Keep it going. I'm with you. But yeah, my analogy is going to the gym. Like, that's that feeling like, oh, I don't want to go. And then you go and you feel better. And so, you know, it's that reminder that like, okay, might take a little bit, but yeah, once we're in it, it's going to be okay. You're going to feel connected. It's going to produce some endorphins.
And how are men different in that way? They're just ready to go.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yes, exactly.
I think I read somewhere that like a teenage boy thinks about sex like every 9 seconds or something.
It would not surprise me at all.
I'm making that up. But
do they stop being teenagers? Because I feel like it's still every 9 seconds grown men. So.
No, my favorite story was when a friend took her like 10-month-old baby boy to the nurse practitioner at 10th Street Pediatrics and said he was playing with his penis so much that it was chafing and red and almost bleeding. And the nurse practitioner, Nurse Kitty, I don't know if anybody remembers Nurse Kitty down over there. I don't know if she's still there. Said, don't worry. This is only a phase. Only lasts 7 decades.
That's so true.
Okay, Kelly, I want to get to more. My guest is Kelly Miller, a therapist in Studio City, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said San Fernando Valley, but I'm sure you have patients, clients. Do you call them patients or clients these
Either
days?
Either one. Like, I think clients is the correct term. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
Her new book, Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues, is available everywhere online, but you can also check her out at Kelly Miller, Kelly with an I, KellyMillerTherapy.com. Okay, we started talking about the solution for bed death in long-term monogamy when couples stop having sex. Is there anything else besides getting to the emotional?
Yes, absolutely. So I have plenty. I think the second thing is just focus on the sensation. I think people get so focused on the orgasm and the end, and it's like, let's just start with what feels nice on the skin, you know? And there's something called sensate focus therapy that I love. So it's really focusing on those sensations rather than actual sex. Because I think a lot of times sex feels so overwhelming and people feel like they have to be on. And so it takes off that pressure.
Yeah. Sensate focus, as I recall from graduate school, they first tell you, the sex therapist tell you, don't have sex for like 6 weeks because, you know, no is the world's biggest aphrodisiac.
Exactly. It's very true. You're onto something.
And then they basically give you different body parts to explore, but not the genitals for like every week you have a new homework assignment, right?
Exactly.
And because so, think about it, when you have a first date with somebody you're really into, if you happen to brush their baby finger against yours, you get a tingle all over your body, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to use the metaphor that you're playing the same instrument for so many years that you're down to like one guitar string. Like everybody goes to the go-to spot, does the same go-to thing, and you get pretty numbed out by it. So that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in people's sex lives, there are past trauma issues,
yes,
right?
For sure.
How do you deal with that? Or yeah. How do you know if that's what the thing is?
Yeah, I mean, that can be a major piece of it. So again, I mean, I recommend if you recognize that within one of your partners, individual therapy, if you can, for sure, because that's a lot to take on. If not, I think it's talking to your partner about what's going to make them feel comfortable. I mean, if there is sexual abuse, things like that, that, you know, we need to figure out what's going to make that person feel safe, because obviously we want them to feel okay in this intimate moment. So whatever we can do to kind of make them feel safe and go slow, and if the partner can be really patient. I mean, there are ways to really work through it, but patience is going to be key here.
And for the frustrated partner who doesn't seem to be getting their needs met, what advice do you have?
I mean, yeah, it's hard. I mean, you have to be slow and steady with this, because if you force it, it could backfire. So I think it's recognizing, okay, I may not get my needs met sexually initially. I'm going to focus that elsewhere. Emotionally, I'm going to get my needs met, maybe intellectually. Okay, we can have fun in other ways, adrenaline-seeking activities, maybe theme parks and roller coasters and things like that. And I think that'll make somebody feel safe anyway, that eventually the sex will come. Right, so it's safety.
And also,
in other ways.
There's that autosexual behavior. It's perfectly acceptable. You didn't know what I meant there, right? I meant taking care of your own needs yourself.
Exactly. Yes.
Not with other partners who will be a threat to your relationship.
Right.
With yourself.
Yes.
Alone.
For
privacy
sure.
Or help. So you mentioned that sex and money are the two things that bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's a couples therapist in New York, and I said to her, what's the most common thing that people bring in? She goes, it doesn't matter what it is. It's the same argument they have for years.
It's so true. It's so true. Yes.
So why right. Do people have this one issue that's
exactly.
That thing that won't go away?
Because they're not seeing each other's perspective, really, plain and simply. So I think my role, or any couple's therapist, is to help bridge that gap of like, okay, let me help you see how Bob feels this way and Susie feels this way. And it's like, oh, okay. And so they kind of have to open their eyes to understand that person's perspective. They might not agree with it, but I think it's really understanding it is going to be helpful.
Do you believe that if there is this recurring argument that seems to be the same thing over and over, that it's almost always related to some early childhood kind of trauma that they're trying to work out?
There's a great expression. If it's not one thing, it's a mother. And I love that. So,
or a father.
Exactly. Or a parent, we'll just say.
Right.
But 100%. Yes. So much of our stuff is related to childhood.
You know what's funny? We were driving here to this interview, and I don't know. You know, Julio's he's a man. So he's very rational and very thinking and problem solving. And he's like, well, I don't understand. Like, if people have finally gotten, say, the money or success or the partner that they want in life, why are they having all these issues still? And I said, because the issues belong in the past, but they have projected it onto the object, that psychobabble for person, the person in front of them. And so if people can learn, I mean, if you're having the same argument over and over and over, do you suggest to go to individual therapy and find out why you have this issue?
Yes. And another great expression that I love is, if it's hysterical, it's historical. So if you're feeling something really strong with your partner, chances are it has something to do with you and your past.
And my other famous expression, since we're going to put them all out there,
exactly.
Is, do you know why your family can push your buttons so well? Because they installed them.
I love that. It's great. It's true.
See, this is therapist humor.
Exactly.
I'm not a therapist, but she is. So we can get each other's humor, right?
Right.
Now, you also talk about something in your book. By the way, the book is called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. Kelly Miller is the author. You talk about a fast food communication method.
Yes.
What is that?
Yes. So if you think about it, when you order fast food, you go to the drive-thru. And they want to make sure that they get your order correct. So they repeat it back, and they even show it on the screen. And I tell couples, I want you to do that with your partner, because there's so much miscommunication. So basically, it's really simple. When your partner tells you something, you say, what I'm hearing you say is. And it sounds so funny, like you're a parrot, but A, your partner feels validated, and B, you're really ensuring that communication.
So,
although I like it when people put their own words on it so that you can also clarify any discrepancy, because you know all those call centers that teach them the script and then you finally lay out the problem and then they repeat your problem back. And you're like, just get to the solution. Mm-hmm. Okay, you don't have to tell me what I just said. I know what I just said, right?
Right.
Because they're repeating it word for word and it sounds almost mocking.
Yes, yes. So I can see that.
Put it in your own words.
Right. Say, I like that too.
So what you're saying is, the way I see it or the way I'm hearing it is that you're feeling that blah, blah, blah.
That's perfect.
And use your own words.
That's perfect.
And then the person gets to go, no, actually.
Exactly.
Right.
Or, yes, correct. Right.
Yeah. You get it. Mm-hmm. You get it. Fast food. Repeat it back in your own words and show it on the screen.
But I think it's also that this person's coming to you, they're upset, right? And so if you are just taking that moment, because I think we're so quick to defend or, no, that's not right. Or I didn't mean to do that. Or what are you talking about? And so it's like, if you take that moment to acknowledge what they're saying, I think people kind of can ease and they're not as defensive. Like, okay, they heard me. So that's part of it too.
Exactly. Okay, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but can you tell me what your number one recommendation to rekindle a kind of tired, dull old love?
Sure. It's getting vulnerable. I think
even if you've been with somebody for 15 years.
I think it's saying, hey, I'm worried. Things feel stale with us. What can we do? It's getting really honest. Yeah.
Oh, so literally saying,
yes.
Hey, there's no excitement in our lives anymore.
What can we do? Put the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Put them right there.
You know, one of my favorite words that works well with male brains is the word how. Mm. How can we fix this? How can we? Because it puts them out of their emotional defensive brain into their prefrontal cortex, and it becomes like a math problem, I think.
Brilliant.
How can we do this? How can we figure this out?
Exactly.
How? And now you're on a team together. How? Mm-hmm. Solving this thing. Kelly, good luck to you. I'm so proud and happy that you've written this book. And I know it's not your first book, but now you've gotten into the relationship space.
Thank you. Since you're
sitting in an office all day long with relationships, why not share the wealth and the wisdom, right? The book is called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. The author is Kelly with an I, Kelly Miller. You can also find her at kellymiller.com. therapy.com. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
And that brings the Dr. Wendy Walsh show to a close. See, I got through my jet lag. I stumbled a few times, forgot my words, but I did it. I'm always here for you every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. If you miss any part of the show, you can always go to the iHeartRadio app. Producer Kayla posts it right after the show, and then it becomes a podcast, Dr. Wendy on Demand, but we're always there. Thanks for being with me. We'll see you next Sunday.